celebrate the 88th year of the founding of AA in Akron, Ohio, with this 1988 version of Joe and Charlie, brought to you by the big book livingalive.com.
And I went to a source of information which has never failed me yet. I went to a Webster's dictionary, and I looked up the word allergy. And I found that, as with most words, there are several different definitions of it, depending on how the word is used. But I found the one that I think fits me exactly. It says an allergy is an abnormal reaction to any food, beverage, or substance in any form. An abnormal reaction. So I thought, well, then that must mean that I am abnormal when it comes to alcohol, so I'll look back in my drinking career and see how I'm abnormal. And to my amazement, I didn't know what abnormal was. Because you see, the way I had been drinking, I'd been at it so long that that had come absolutely normal to me. And I didn't know not only what's normal, but I didn't know what's abnormal. And the people who drank with me drank just like I drank. So our kind of drinking was normal for me. You know, if you do something long enough, whatever it is, it's going to become normal after a while. The first time you vomit is abnormal. You do it every morning 6 months in a row, and it becomes absolutely normal to do that. First time you're in jail, that's abnormal. You get in jail every week, that becomes normal to you after a while. And the kind of drinking I did became absolutely normal to me. So in order for me to find out what is normal and what's abnormal, I had to go talk to those so-called normal, social, temperate, moderate drinkers. Those that don't have trouble with alcohol. My wife, Barbara, happens to be one of those. And as I talk to those people, I say, would you tell me how you feel whenever you take a drink? And usually they say something like this. They say, well, we can go home from work all tired, tense, and wrought up from the day's work. And we can have a drink or two before dinner. And we'll get kind of a relaxing, comfortable feeling. And then we'll go ahead and have dinner. And we probably won't drink any more that evening. Well, I don't feel that way when I drink alcohol. I take a drink of alcohol and I put it to my lips, and as it passes over my lips begin to tingle a little bit. And it hits my teeth and they kind of chatter up and down. It strikes my tongue and I can feel my tongue begin to grow and expand and get bigger. It'll hit my cheeks and they'll kind of flutter in and out. And I can feel it passing up through my sinus cavities into my forehead, and I get a feeling up here in my forehead which is absolutely indescribably wonderful. Well, I haven't even swallowed the damn stuff yet. I just got it in my mouth. I swallow it, and as it goes down through my esophagus, great things begin to take place. I can feel my chest begin to grow and expand and get bigger and bigger. And it hits my stomach, and it just literally explodes like a bomb. And I can feel it racing through my arms, and they get longer and longer. And it hits my hands and my fingers, and they begin to tingle and vibrate. And at the same time, it's racing through my legs, and they get longer and longer, and I get taller and taller, and it hits the bottom of my feet and my toes get a hot, burning, exciting, get up and go somewhere and do something sensation. I don't understand a relaxing, comfortable feeling when you drink alcohol. You see, that's one way I'm abnormal. It only happens to one person out of ten. Now, I think that's one of the reasons I love to drink alcohol, because it makes me feel different than it does the normal drinker. But I think there's another factor that's very important. As I talk to these normal social drinkers, they say, we can have one or two or three drinks. And they say, we get a slightly tipsy, out of control, nauseous feeling. And that's all we want to drink. Now, all my life, I thought those people use willpower not to drink more than one, two, or three drinks, because they didn't want to get drunk. But today I realize, if that's the way they feel when they drink, then they don't need willpower. If it made me slightly tipsy, out of control, nauseous feeling, hell, that's all I'd want to drink too. But it doesn't do that for me. You know, that is a normal reaction to alcohol. Alcohol is a toxic drug. Alcohol is a destroyer of human tissue. And the mind and the body can sense what you put into it, and if it's something that's going to destroy the body, it says, let's get this crap out of here. And it wants to upchuck and throw it out. The normal social drinker, that's what happens when they have one, two, or three drinks. Now, we alcoholics, we don't have that warning symptom. We don't get a slightly tipsy, out-of-control feeling. We get an in-control feeling when we have one or two drinks. And instead of getting a nauseous feeling, we actually experience a physical, craving in our body that demands more of the same. The stuff that destroys the body where normal people want to vomit it up, we don't want to do that. We want to drink more of it and put it in there. You know, it amazes me. Normal social drinkers, when they feel it, they're ready to quit drinking. The alcoholic, when we feel it, we're ready to start drinking. And there's a hell of a big difference between the two. If it made me feel like it makes normal drinkers feel, I wouldn't want to drink that stuff either. It amazes me today to think that every time the social drinker drinks, they get all they want to drink every time. One, two, or three drinks. I drank alcohol 26 years. I don't ever remember getting all I wanted. I had a hell of a lot more than I needed many times, but I never had all I wanted. I crave alcohol physically after I've had one or two drinks of alcohol. That's abnormal. Therefore, I'm considered to be physically allergic to alcohol itself. Joe?
Okay, it moves on. And again, as we're going to be talking about how the book textbook is laid out, it always reinforces its points. It always broadens your concept after it begins to talk about the allergy. And it will do that throughout the book. On Roman number 26. He said, we believe, as so suggested a few years ago, that the action of alcohol on these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy, and that the phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. And we can see that. He says, you know, that action on these chronic alcoholics. Now, I didn't like some of these words. I didn't like to think I was chronic. I didn't know what it meant. But chronic means more than once. So if you did it more than once, you're chronic.
Okay. That might apply to some other things also.
The craving is a manifestation of the allergy. The phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. Normal drinkers do not crave alcohol. This is what's so amazing to me. You know, I've always made a great study of normal social drinkers. They're fascinating to me, particularly as Sean and I travel so much, and we're in the airplanes when I'm real close where you can watch them. It's amazing. You ought to watch those people. You ought to watch them. Now, they don't get much. They just get that one little ounce, this one little bottle. It ain't even enough to, you know, that's a shame. You know. And they pour that in there, and they got these little sticks. They go through something, they stir a lot. I don't know what that is. You know, and they just stir and stir and stir. I never did. I don't understand that. Because I'm an abnormal drinker, see. And when they get it all stirred up, they read their magazines. You know, you want to say, hey, drink that thing, man. Not so long ago, we had one guy to pour half of his in there and stir it and go through that ceremony. He put the rest of it in his pocket. It got to Charlie. Charlie stopped him and asked him, what was he going to do with that he put in his pocket? He said when he got home, he was going to fix himself another drink. Now, that's sick. You know, that's sick. But that's normal. That's normal, see? Okay. Okay, he says, now, these allergy types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. And once having formed a habit and found they cannot break it, once having lost their self-confidence, their reliance upon human things, their problems pile up upon them and become astonishingly difficult to solve. You know, and so he says, if we are allergic to alcohol, and when we put alcohol into our system, we experience this craving, we can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. We can drink, but we cannot drink safely without triggering this phenomenon of craving. And there's another word. Phenomenon is something that we know occurs, but we can't explain it. But we see it occur each time. It's unexplainable. It's a phenomenon, but it happens every time.
And again, we're looking at a word that if we don't understand what the writer really meant, The information is going to be garbled. Many people, when they see the word craving, they immediately think that it's pertaining to the fact that we desire a drink. A lot of people say, I came to AA and I craved alcohol for 3 or 4 years. Well, that's the wrong usage of this word. In the context of the big book, the word craving is a physical factor. And the physical craving only occurs after we've had one, two, or three drinks. It does not refer to before we start drinking. It's always after we start drinking. And every time we see that word in here, it'll be referring to developing after we've had one, two, or three drinks. Now, we may desire a drink. That's the mind. We may have an obsession to drink. That's the mind. But we don't crave a drink unless we drink first. Normal people never crave alcohol. Only alcoholics crave alcohol. Now, if we'll go over to the next Roman numeral 28, he's going to show us five different kinds of people that drink alcohol. He's going to classify us. And then he's going to make a very important point for us. Joe?
He said, the classification of alcoholics is most difficult. There's much detail is outside the scope of this book. You know, we can't talk about all the classes, but he's just going to give us five different classes. There are, of course, the psychopaths who are emotionally unstable. We are familiar with this type. They are always going on a wagon for keeps. They're over-remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision.
Type one.
Okay. There's a type who, a man who is unwilling to admit that he cannot drink. He plans various ways of drinking. He changes his brand or his environment.
Type two.
There is a type who always believes after being entirely free from alcohol for a period of time, he can take a drink without danger.
Type three.
There is a demonic depressive type who is perhaps at least understood by his friends and about whom a whole chapter could be written.
Type four. Now, the next type is always felt I fit into to the type 5 category, the next one.
Then there are types entirely normal in every respect, except the effect alcohol has upon them. They are often able, intelligent, friendly people. See, Charlie wants to be a type 5.
I used to read that, and I'd think, how did he know so much about me?
Okay, now, he described five different types of behaviors. You know, their behaviors are all different. But he says, and he's making a point, all these and many others have one simple thing in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of the allergy, which differentiates these people and sets them apart in a distinct entity. It is never by any treatment of which we are familiar permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence.
And we believe what he's really saying to us is this. That if all we alcoholics in this room tonight would take a drink, God forbid that happen, but if we did, we would not all react exactly the same. You know, one of us would have a drink or two, and in 30 minutes we're sitting over here in the corner crying in our beer. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo, the world's not treating me right.
Manic depressive.
Another one take a drink or two, and in just a short period of time gets right up on the table, right out in the middle of the floor, hooping and hollering and dancing and cutting up and having a hell of a good time. In another 30 minutes, you look over in the far corner, and there'll be two of us over there getting in a fight, just sure as anything. And a little later, look in another corner, and there'll be two of us over there, one putting the make on the other. We tend to do that also, you know, when we drink. We would not all do exactly the same things. But there is one thing we would all do. When we had that first one or two drinks, we would immediately start looking for a third drink, and a fourth drink, and a fifth drink, and a sixth drink, because the phenomenon of craving, the physical craving, has developed. And now we can't stop drinking. And we'll drink on and on and on until we're drunk, sick, and in all kinds of trouble. Now, it really doesn't make any difference whether we're born with that factor or whether we drank several years before we got into that kind of drinking. You know, I'm the type of guy that for all my life, I've had this allergy to alcohol. I drank 26 years. I can never remember drinking anything. I'd take one drink of anything that had alcohol in it. I'd never remember one beer, one shot of whiskey, always. One led to two, to three, to four, to five. Now, some of you, I'm sure, drank those several years before that became apparent in your drinking pattern. It doesn't make any difference either how long it takes us to get drunk. Again, I'm the type of alcoholic that I'm so allergic to it, if you give me a drink right now about 9 o'clock in the evening, by 11 o'clock I've found a cop and I'm in jail somewhere. Now, some of you may have one drink tonight.
That's right.
And two drinks tomorrow night and three drinks the next night, and it may take you a week to get good and drunk. But it really doesn't make any difference, because the thing that set it off is the first drink or two we had this evening. Now, I know that's true with every one of us. Because if we didn't develop the allergy, which gets us in trouble, we wouldn't be sitting here in this room tonight. If we could drink safely, we would be out there somewhere drinking alcohol. We didn't come to AA because we wanted to. I've never seen an alcoholic yet, took a drink 14 years old, said, Joey, Joy, I can hardly wait for the day when I'm 32 and I can be a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is the court of last resort. We're here because we can't drink without getting drunk. Now, that's what we've got in common. So many of us, we come into AA and we look for ways to unidentify. He says, I've been in jail 28 times. I say, I've just been there 13. I'm not like him. Or she says, I've been divorced 6 times. And I say, just 2 for me. I'm not like her. The one thing we have in common, black or white, old or young, male or female, Republican or Democrat, Christian or non-Christian, is that we can't drink without getting drunk. Because when we drink, it triggers the phenomenon of craving. And we can't stop drinking, and we end up drunker than we intended to get. I've never met an alky yet who said, I'm going to go get drunk enough to get thrown in jail tonight. Never. Just a few drinks.
Okay. And he said, only relief is a tie-up. And that's the really, if we have an allergy, and you go, if you're, regardless of what it is, in medical science today, they will tell you, they will find out what you're allergic to, and they use the same thing. They tell you to leave that alone. So I believe you should leave that alone. And that's the only way we can't drink safely. Now this, you want to, the boy, I got it.
You got it. Now back in the 1930s, the medical profession didn't know very much. You want to change now? Okay, just in time.
If you enjoyed this episode of Joe and Charlie from Akron in 1988 and would like to hear other versions, different seminars from different years, please visit our website, bigbookliving.com.